Hello, and welcome to the Off Kilter Quilt. My name is Frances. I'll be your hostess. Hello, and welcome to episode 174, the Let Us Now Praise Famous Quilts episode. You will understand that title when you listen to the third quilt diary, third of three. You will be happy to know I did finish Carrie's wedding quilt. Hooray! If you're a twilter, you know that already. You can see pictures over at my blog, theoffkilterquilt.wordpress.com. There's the picture that I posted on the twilter site, as well as a picture the man took, a more documentary, straight-on picture. I think the quilt came out nicely. I was actually able to give it to Carrie in person on Saturday. She and Ben came to town. This is so nice. They're such nice young people. Ben's got a cousin in Wilmington, and this is so sad. He's in his early 50s, and he has early onset dementia. I don't know if there's been an Alzheimer's diagnosis or not. I mean, Ben says he doesn't know. So anyway, his cousin can no longer drive because he gets lost. So Ben and Carrie, and there was something that his cousin wanted to do in Raleigh. He's from Raleigh, as is Ben. And so Ben and Carrie drove him up to drop him off, and then came over to Carrie's mom and dad's house here in Durham. So when I emailed Carrie's mom to get her new mailing address, Lisa emailed back and said Carrie will be here this weekend. So we got together Saturday afternoon, and Carrie and Ben really seemed to like the quilt. It's a nice quilt. I like the quilt. You know, it's funny, it's one of those things. So in the back, there were a couple pleats, but they were interestingly placed, and they actually don't show up. I mean, I did not see them actually till after I had quilted the quilt and had gone, you know, and washed it, and then was actually looking for last minute threads to snip. And I was like, oh my goodness. They almost look like lines of quilting, and they are horizontal, coming out from the binding. So I talk in one of the quilt diaries about this ongoing thing I have about whether or not to baste the outer border after the quilt sandwich has been put together. But I talk about that coming up, so I'm not going to talk about it now. Anyway, it was fine. To unpleat the pleat would have meant really undoing a lot. And I just felt like, you know what? It's good. It's not that visible. It certainly doesn't ruin the quilt by any stretch. And they're muggles and they won't even notice. So, hey. Anyway, it feels good to have that done. And since then, I've been working on pot holders. I'm still kind of like, you know, I don't want to be done. It's hard finishing a project. It's hard finishing a book, it's hard finishing a quilt, because you're kind of like, you know, it's like you're running, and you hit this pace, and it feels really good, and you've got endorphins flowing, and then you finish the race, and you're like, but I still feel good, I still want to do something. So I actually had a couple pot holders that I had put together all the way to the baste, I think last Christmas, and I have a picture on the blog. So I found it's like, you know, it's time to quilt these. One I'd already quilted but had not put on a binding, and the other had not been quilted. So I quilted the second one and put binding on both of them. There are pictures on the blog. I think I just said that. And now I'm making a third one. And, you know, I thought maybe if I could find some really cute patterns, because these are just single, it's just one, it's they're whole cloth pot holders, which is not quite as dramatic as whole cloth quilts, I understand. But, you know, it's like, well, it might be fun to do some pieced pot holders and, you know, for Christmas presents. Not that, you know, I don't exchange gifts with many friends, but my friend Sarah, usually, like, she gave me a little Christmas cactus last year. It's really nice, and it's doing really well. So I thought, well, and she would appreciate some really cool, funky-looking pot holders. And I thought, well, my editor, Caitlin, if I could get my act together, I actually would knit her socks, because I think she would. I've knit her socks before, and she really liked them. But she might like funky pot holders as well. You know, I've made her a quilt, so it's going to be probably a while before I make her another one. But pot holders, I mean, they're fun, you know. And last fall when I met Debbie, she gave me these beautiful pot holders. Debbie, I have not used them. I have them hanging up for decorations. They're so beautiful. I think I posted pictures. Last November, I think. Around then, October or November. So, Yeah, I can't bring myself. They're really, really nice. I'm not sure I'll be making pot holders that nice, but you never know. But I am also looking very closely at the quilt I may make for my nephew Devin based on some of his artwork. But I think I also talked about that in the quilt diary. So let me just, I want to say thank you to everyone who commented on the last episode, which I don't remember. It's been a little over a week, I think, since I posted it. I want to say thanks to Shelley Beth, to Gloria M in CA. These are nice things about my dress. I posted a picture of myself in the dress I wore to Carrie's wedding and the last blog post. And it's so funny. I hear from people like Gloria, who says, I always picture Travis as black and brown, straighter hair, bigger. And I think so many people have said that. Oh, I thought when I've put pictures of Travis on their blog, they're like, oh, I thought he'd be bigger. And as Gloria puts it, so odd how our ears and minds make up what we cannot see. And it is true. I always find that fascinating. Heard from Terry, who had gave me a pre-listen comment, and she loves Travis, and all her dogs love Travis. Her fur kids say wolf to Travis. Yes, it's nice to have a little cross-country animal affection and friendship going on. I always like that. Heard from Noni, who has, I mentioned the last time that I been watching Game of Thrones, and she said it was too violent for her. It is violent, but here's the funny thing. So for those of you who are churchgoers, or synagogue goers, I guess, because I'm doing a Sunday school class, Old Testament, 1st and 2nd Samuel, and we have been in these chapters of 1 Samuel where David is running around and just involved in these huge battles where he and his troops are like killing hundreds and hundreds of people, like just devastating these cities and townships. And I'm just like, yeah, it's just like another episode of Game of Thrones. And I actually said that yesterday. Everybody laughed. I was like, because they knew I was right. A lot of violence in particularly some of the older books of the Hebrew Bible. Yeah. But anyway, it's interesting. As the wonderful theologian Verna Dozier says, the Bible is a collection of stories from different communities expressing the way they understood and perceived God. And in the more ancient communities that were more violent, their perception of God and how God acted in the world perhaps was also a bit more violent than ours. Although we are also capable of great violence. But enough preaching. Onward, Ellen. Hello, Ellen. Also has a snoring dog. Also a Game of Thrones watcher, but she has to admit that the violence is sickening at times. It really is. I mean, it's over the top. It is over the top violence. And it's actually, this is a good show if you can stream it to watch while you're quilting and, you know, are kind of just listening. Although listening to violence is also a bit icky and disturbing. Heard from Sherry Kay, also sending some Travis love. And she asks if we are both 1964 babies. And yes, Sherry Kay, we are. And she wanted to make sure that I knew that 50 or 51 is the new 30. Yes. Yes, Sherry Kay, we are both working it. I like it. Heard from Lisa to say, looking good. Thanks. I got a lot of love on the dress. Thank you very much. Heard from Carol of Quilting Lab, who says, if she can't wear something for at least 10 years, it is history. I am so much like that, too. I'm already, like, thinking, I can wear that dress to, like, when Will graduates from middle school and Jack graduates from high school next year. I'm like, all right, I've got my dress. And then we're going to have some more weddings, I'm sure. I really feel like this is the dress that I will be wearing. Yeah, without a doubt, next 10 years. I hate shopping so much. Heard from Karen in C, who said that she can't wait to read my books and short stories when they are published. Thank you so much, Karen. I'll keep you up to date on that. I am in the process of revising the Birds in the Air book, making a few serious changes to try to make it a bit more cohesive and move a little faster, but that's coming along. So I hope, I don't know, early next year maybe pushing it, but maybe by next spring we'll have something going, and also should have the website up and the and some stories up. So I have finished two stories. I need to get going on some more, but I need to focus on revising Birds in the Air. That's got to be my number one job right now. Heard from Mad Miss Lottie, who also thought Travis was bigger than he actually is. He's about 20 pounds. He's a dear puppy, and he's going to get groomed tomorrow. Right now, he is just shaggy and darling, but at the same time, it's like, wow, do you smell like dog? And there's a line that can be crossed with the dog smell where it's like, all right, off to the groomer with you. And I heard from the wonderful Kelly the Fifth, who has been going through some weather out there in Cali. She says, we have been getting ready. Now, this is, it was October 30th, so this is not that long ago. We have been getting ready for the rains. The Godzilla El Nino. And then in parentheses, oh, the media. So I assume that's what they're calling it. But Kelly the Fifth, I believe you need to make a quilt with that name. Thank you, everybody, for your comments. I really love them. All of us podcasters do. If you're a new listener and like the podcast, feel free to review it on iTunes. That would be super cool. And I know you'll only have very nice, lovely things to say because you're such a nice and lovely person. If you want to email me directly, that would be F as in Francis, Dowell as in do well, fdowell@nc.rr.com. You can leave a comment at theoffkilterquilt.wordpress.com. Or come over to the Twilters. Become a Twilter. All you have to do is ask a Twilter to sign you up, and you are welcome to make that request of me. I'm happy to do it. And thanks to all the Twilters for all your very nice comments on Carrie's quilt. Lots of stuff on the blog this week. I've been doing a lot more reading and linking, so look for lots of interesting articles. I thought they were interesting. And I guess it's time now, right, to get on with the Quilt Diaries. Quilt Diary, day one. It's Saturday, October 31st, Will's birthday. He's 13. I now live in a house with two teenage boys and Travis. And Travis is sitting right next to me. It's about, I don't know, 8:15, 8:30. And we're having, instead of a birthday dinner for Will, we're having a birthday lunch, so I actually need to get dressed, get going, gotta run over to Target and Dick's Sporting Goods and come home and make a cake, and then I think we're having Chick-fil-A for lunch. Not bad. Anyway, Will is mad at me because I wouldn't let him do a sleepover last night. It was the 7th and 8th grade dance. And first of all, he asked if he could go over to his friend Logan's house before the dance to get ready. And Logan's mom said she would get them pizza. It was Will and Logan and another friend, Sean. And that was all good. She said, fine, dropped him over. And Logan's mom drove the boys to the dance. And then Will called about 7:30. The dance started at 7 and asked if he could spend the night at Logan's. Well, we're pretty easygoing about sleepovers, and Will has several friends who are close friends of his where I know the families. If Will calls from Ashong's house and says, can I spend the night? I'm like, sure. Or Wynn's house, sure. Gavin's house, sure. Now, I know Logan's mom, and I like her. We're very friendly. We're not actually friends, but we're very friendly, and I know she's good people. But I don't actually know what her thing is. What are their rules about technology? And in this day and age, you need to know. It's like, can they take cell phones up to their room? Do they have computers in their room? Do you have internet blockers? Do you have HBO? We have HBO, but no one knows we have HBO. But all that stuff. You don't. Know it, and you need to know it, and people have different ideas about what's good and appropriate and what the rules are, and I don't know what their rules are. And I also, to be honest, I didn't have a great feeling about it. In part, maybe it's because today's Will's birthday, and I really didn't want him, just to come home all kind of grubby and tired, and then we would have this sort of lackluster birthday lunch, and then, and he's got trick-or-treating tonight, and this is his last year of trick-or-treating.
So, you know, just everything about it just was like, no, uh-uh. So he was fine. He seemed fine. But then he called again at 10, which is when the dance ended. And he said, can I please spend the night? And I was just like, no. We've already discussed this. No. And so when he came home, I mean, he seemed fine. But I talked to him and I told him, it's like, you know, dude, we can't do the last minute sleepover with families we don't know that well. You know, had you asked 24 hours ago, that would have given me time to call Logan's mom and say, you know, what, you know, do you let your kids watch R-rated movies? What, you know, because all that stuff. And then he got upset with me. He gets upset. And I said, I know you're unhappy. I know you want to go. And I understand that. But that's just my job. It's just my job to make sure that stuff's okay. So he's mad at me. I mean, it'll probably be fine today. It's one of those things as a parent, you have to remind yourself, you know, it's no great loss that he didn't get to spend the night over at Logan's. And I think he was feeling a little bit like the injustice of it all because Logan's a really nice kid. But, you know, that's the other thing is I don't know Logan. I assume Logan's a really nice kid. The other thing, there's an older brother. He's not much older. He's like a freshman. So, but, you know, you never know with older brothers. I mean, I know Jack doesn't. You know, if Will has people spending the night, Jack is like as far away as possible. But you don't know. So all that stuff. Anyway, happy birthday, Will. I'm sitting here with a book on my lap called Color and Pattern. I mentioned it's October 31st, right? Will's a Halloween baby. It's called Color and Pattern by Christian A. Howe. The subtitle is 50 Playful Exercises for Exploring Pattern in Design. Now, have no fear. I'm not about to become a fabric designer. I haven't even figured out how to use EQ7, and there's a connection there, and just that sometimes I get ideas in my head, like, I'm going to start designing quilts, and I get expensive software for Christmas, and then don't even learn how to use it. One day I will, because I mean, I think that would be so useful, and I would like to do that. But I haven't, and it's almost been a year. A little embarrassing. But no, so I do not think I will become a fabric designer. I think one reason I picked this up is I just listened to the Crafty Planner podcast, which, as you know, I'm a big fan of. There's some people she interviews I'm not that interested in, but I still think I think her name is Sandy, is a very good interviewer. And then there are other people whose stories I'm very interested in. You know, Denise Schmidt or Victoria Finley Wolf or Lizzie House, I think is her name. She seems delightful. I follow her on Instagram now, and she has a really great eye. Most recently, the interviewee was Tula Pink. And I feel like I've been hearing the name Tula Pink for the last 3 years, not believing that Tula Pink was actually anybody's real name. Turns out it is. And I feel like in the last year, I guess maybe because QNN TV is now doing a Tula Pink show where they actually, I think it's 12 episodes, they're in her house, in her studio. And, you know, I've looked at her fabrics and I like them. I like her, you know, would I use them? Maybe. And, you know, there's some. Again, I'm an old fogey. I'm sorry, I'm not supposed to say I'm old. I'm not old fogey, but you know. I'm of a different generation of quilters, although I guess I started quilting in 2007, 2008, around there. I can't remember which year. We moved into this house in spring of 2007. It's possible I made my first quilt that fall. That's the quilt that I made for my sister-in-law that, because it was called a throw, I didn't realize I was actually making a quilt, which is good. Because I think I would have been scared if it had been called a quilt. This was from an Amy Butler pattern, in any event. So I did come of age as a quilter at a time when modern quilting had taken off and a new generation of quilters, of younger quilters, were starting up. But the whole kind of know your designer, love your designer. Yeah, it's like I know who Kay Fassett is, and I like Kay Fassett, and I'm interested in sort of the love-hate thing with Kay Fassett, because people seem to feel very strongly either way. And I know who Amy Butler is. You know, so you get to know, I mean, there's some designers who are pretty iconic, and I guess that's why we know who they are. But, you know, I have no real desire to know more about who Amy Butler is, to meet her, to be friends with her, although she seems very lovely. You know, she spoke at the first Quilt Con, which is online at Craftsy, and she just seems like such a lovely, lovely human being. But, you know, there's some, like, writers, like, you read their book, and it's like Holden Caulfield says in Catcher in the Rye, it's like you just want to be able to call them up and talk to them, right? I don't have that feeling about fabric designers, even the ones I really like a lot. So fabric designers as celebrities is interesting to me. But it's not a thing for me. You know, in the interview, Sandy mentions there's some name for Tula Pink fans, like Tula's Troops or something. I don't think that's it. But anyway, so I can't really imagine aligning myself with a particular designer. But I do think that that's something younger people in general do, not just with designers, but with celebrities, right? And it's just interesting to see it happen in our world with fabric designers. So it was interesting listening to Tula Pink talk. One of the things she said, she was talking about out of print lines that are now very expensive on eBay. And she's been asked if she will reprint them, and there's some problems. She can't do it because I guess she started out with Moda, and now I can't remember who she said she's designing for. But so she can't go back, and she, I guess, probably does not own the copyright or however fabric works. So to the prints, so she can't do that, or perhaps it's just different. I don't know enough about how fabric is produced, but it may be different dyes, and I don't know. Are there in-house dyes? I would assume there kind of are. So anyway, she can't, for various reasons, can't reprint the fabric. But she said also, when you know, so much of the time and energy when you do a print line or a line of fabric, what would you call that? Maybe fabric line, I assume, is the promotion. And she's got to be out front and center when she has a new line out. She's got to go promote it. It's like an author with a new book. You know, you got to go do your readings and go to the librarian conventions and things like that. So I thought that was, and she said, so to reprint a particular fabric, it's like it's none of the joy of creation, right? Because you've already created it, but it's still all the work of doing a new line. I think she said it was like 80% of it is really getting it out into the world. So anyway, I thought that was interesting. The thing that I like hearing these designers talk, because, you know, their background is art. And, you know, that's my secret wish, that I really had this great artistic ability. And, you know, because I want the studio. But, you know, I do enjoy drawing. And I think that making art is very satisfying. And, of course, I find a lot of satisfaction in making quilts. But, you know, actually drawing and coloring and all of that and painting is fun. I don't really think, again, you know, I'm not thinking, I promise you, you're like, no, Francis, please don't start thinking about designing fabric. It's not where I'm at. But one is just someone who likes to look at pretty things. This book is pretty. And also, I just thought it'd be interesting to learn more about what fabric or pattern design, you know, I mean, this is pattern design. So it's not necessarily, but I think it's for fabric. Yeah, so I'm just looking through. But both, not just for fabric for quilting, although a lot of this looks like fabric for quilting, but also, you know, fabric for garment sewing and home decor and all kinds of stuff. So I just thought it'd be interesting to kind of think, how do designers think? Where do they get their inspiration? It's a really pretty book. And it has exercises if you are interested in design. It seems like it would be a good book to get. And it's very pleasing. It's the book itself is well designed. So anyway, I'm looking at that. But I also, you know, one of the things, so let's see if I can tell this story and actually come back to my point. I have had my coffee, so there's a possibility. I joined the American Quilt Study Group, I guess in January. I used some Christmas money. It's fairly expensive membership. It's like $75 a year. But I was curious about it and was hoping that by being a member, it's like there would be a really active online discussion and there would be just these materials that I would have access to that would be really helpful and interesting. That hasn't quite turned out to be the case. The online, the listserv is pretty inactive. And people's interests seem to be primarily 19th century quilting and textiles. There's a little, every once in a while someone will talk about, you know, get kind of interested in 1930s quilts or, you know, that era of quilt making, where quilt making was quite popular again before it went back underground for a few decades. But mostly it's 19th century. Mostly there's not much discussion at all. I tried this summer posting some questions about the roots of modern quilting and also, you know, kind of interested in how did we get to where we are today, not just with modern quilting, but with just the quilt culture that we have in general. And there was some good discussion, and there were people saying, oh, I wish we would have more discussions like this. And, you know, the thing is, it's a quilt study group. It's actually not the quilt history group. So the idea is we could be talking about quilts and quilt making. It's going on right now, and we're not. And what membership gives you is access to these forums. They have a big seminar every year, and it gets you reduced prices, ticket prices to that. There is an annual journal called Uncoverings and a quarterly newsletter called Blanket Statements. And the Blanket Statement is actually pretty interesting. It's short pieces, issues that people are working on. You know, these are academics. And, you know, so they're working on a particular area of study, and these are shorter pieces, I think like 1,000 words, on whatever people are working on. And there's been some interesting stuff. I'm not wildly interested, like, in textiles, per se. Here's Travis is snoring again. Good, we get another round of Travis snoring. A lot of it is stuff that I'm actually not interested in. I'm interested in culture. I'm interested in why people start making the things they make. You know, why suddenly, you know, why the modern quilt movement, why the quilt revival in the 70s, why Tulip Pink, you know, I mean, that stuff interests me as much as anything. And, of course, people's lives interest me, which is probably why, you know, ultimately my concern is fiction and, you know, writing stories and trying to get inside of people's heads, because that's what interests me most of all. But it's interesting to step outside. So I don't think I'm going to renew my membership. You know, as much as I support the group, I mean, I've got a lot of things, a lot of nonprofits could use my $75, and I just don't feel like I'm getting that much out of this group. I mean, everyone seems lovely and nice and what have you. It's just not what I was hoping it would be. But I was thinking too, again. In this book, Color and Pattern, 50 Playful Exercises for Exploring Pattern Design, made me think about how, you know, what's happening right now is the history of 25 years from now, 50 years from now, if, you know, people are looking back at the quilts of the, you know, I was about to say the first decade of the 21st century, but we're actually in the second decade, you know, but say the first two decades of the 21st century. I mean, someone will be getting this book out of the library or probably downloading it, you know, reading it online and going, okay, what were the patterns? You know, because it's really visually pleasing book. And the, you know, I love seeing these patterns and love seeing the fabric. It will seem very dated, you know, probably as fast as things move now, it will seem dated in 5 years. But it will be a source document, right? Saying this is in 2015. So, yeah, 2015. I was about to say 2115. No, we're still in the 20s. This kind of design was catching people's eyes, was exciting people. Why these patterns? Why at this time? I don't know. I'm very interested in the why questions. But so it's interesting to look at documents right now and understand they're historical documents, just not historical right at this second, but they will be soon. And what, again, what does this say? What does it say that this book was even published? You know, it, for a general audience. That interests me as well. But it's, I've looked through it a little bit, and I'm looking forward to really, really reading it and learning from it. And also in the way that, although I really, truly, I promise you, I will never design fabric, but in the way educating yourself about things, whether it's quilt history or fabric design, it makes your experience as a quilter richer. The more you know about what you're looking at, what you're working with, what you're making. I just do. That's just me. Some people, they just like to have fun. I'm not that way. Anyway, a quick update, and then I guess I need to get ready to actually eat breakfast and then go run my errands. I have finished requilting Carrie's wedding quilt, and I have made the binding, which I'm excited because I'm not done quilting Carrie's quilt. I have finished all the sashing strips and done interlocking circles, and it all looks nice. And I've seen about two that I might redo. But although at this point, once you've unquilted a quilt, or at least parts of a quilt, and then requilted, to unquilt again is an iffy proposition, because you do start, you know, I think you damage the fabric just with the first unquilting, just a little bit, right? You're putting stress and strain on the fabric. And so to unquilt again, it's you really need to think seriously about it. And I have only seen a couple places where I don't know, and I may just leave it all alone. And then I've decided on the outer border, which I would say is about, I think it may be a 5-inch border. I have those templates that I got at Joann's, and my plan is to, there's a 3-inch in diameter circle. And I thought, I'm just going to do interlocking circles around the outer border. I like that idea. It's simple. I think it'll look nice. I think the interlocking circles and the sashing look really nice. And then I have made, and what I did last night is I made the binding strips, just because that's so nice to make the binding strips. I don't always do it, but I did it recently. I'm trying to think of on David's quilt or my mom's quilt, somebody, or maybe both of them. But to have the binding ready when you are ready to bind, it's a treat. It's a treat. It just really is. So I think today, my plan this afternoon, my plans are often thwarted, but my big hope is that I will actually finish the border. And who knows, maybe I'll get the machine part of the binding work done. And then because of the baseball playoffs and the World Series, we are very behind on our shows that we like to watch. And so I will have shows to watch. And I can attach the rest of the binding to the back. And then, yay, on to new things. On to new things. That's exciting to me. So that is where I am right now. And I can't think of anything else I need to tell you at this very second. So, I will go on, I'll run my errands, and I'll be back soon.
Quilt Diary Day 2. It's Monday, November 1st. It is a holiday for Jack and Will. I think it's a teacher work day. And I'm kind of going back and forth about taking a holiday myself. And in fact, right now I am, because I am working on Carrie's wedding quilt, which I have finished quilting, although I did find a spot that I need to re-quilt. Not tear out quilt, but on the looking at it, I have it right in front of me. So as I've described, I'm sure quite accurately and brilliantly, at the center of each block, there's a square, which really is probably, I've got a ruler right here. I'm going to tell you. So it's a 6-inch square, which is made up of two triangles, although it's a log cabin deal, right? So this is not two humongous half square a big, humongous half square triangle. I'm not doing really well at this. Anyway, the square divided diagonally. I quilted each square by quilting a triangle, sewing a triangle within each triangle. Two triangles make up the square. You can do the math. Yeah, 90-degree angles. Yeah, exactly. So, in any event, some of the triangles at the corners at where I started the sewing, it just needed a little. Some of the corners need a little more reinforcement. So this is not about dequilting, unquilting, and then requilting. It's just about reinforcing. And I got most of them, and I marked them. I went over after I'd done them, and went over and just marked with safety pins the ones that needed reinforcing. And I actually had thought I'd gotten all of them, but then I realized as I was attaching the binding, doing the machine attaching, I noticed a couple ones that I had missed. Not a biggie. Oh, I'm looking at one thing right here. Whoa. It's funny. I mean, I kind of think, yep, I need to put a... Excuse me while I do this. I just was looking and saw a loose stitch. So I'm not... I think I need to redo that. So I may actually... Excuse me. I'm putting my recorder down, adding a safety pin to come back to this. Okay, sorry about that. See, live quilting, very exciting. Yeah, so, I may go through one more time and just sort of scratch at the corners and make sure everything's pinned down, because you just kind of are sewn down. You kind of hate for, like, after the first wash for half of the quilting to come out. I am getting much better about reinforcing when I start, I start, sew a little bit, and then backstitch. I'm getting much better about that. Is it called backstitching? It is, isn't it? And that could be a good name for a podcast. If you're thinking, yeah, I'd like to start a podcast, I think you should call it backstitch, if that is in fact what I'm even talking about. Who knows? You'll be very proud of me, because I'm looking at all my circles on the sashing, and I'm not dequilting anymore. I go back and forth between dequilting and unquilting. Unquilting, I think, sounds better. There's something about dequilting that kind of tickles me. In any event, it's like some of them are kind of, most of them look very nice and are very uniform. And, you know, I'm going to let it go. I'm going to let it go. These people are getting, I almost said, a live quilt. They are getting a real live quilt. Well, they are, you know, and they are, well, muggles. Very lovely muggles who will appreciate the quilt very much. Anyway, I have finished the outer border, quilting that. And that, I think this is a 5-inch border. And what I did, here, my little handy ruler. This should be a vidcast, quite frankly, with all this kind of work that I'm doing for the camera that's not here. What I ended up doing, so I initially did interlocking circles to mirror the interlocking circles in on the sashing. And these are the ones on it's a 5-inch border, and these are circles that are 4 inches in diameter. I ended up adding an extra circle. So there are actually 3 circles interlocking. It just needed a little bit more pizzazz. And what I like about having a little more, it makes it, you can't even really see it, quite frankly, because the border is, there's a lot going on in the fabric. So, and I did the quilting in a light thread that's certainly not invisible, but it certainly does blend in to the fabric. But just the single interlocking circles, I don't know, it just wasn't enough. So I just threw in a little bit more. And what's nice is the fabric, the border fabric, is a sort of, as I've described before, an old-fashioned floral. And there's something about the triple interlock circles that mimics it a little bit more. I think it creates more of a feeling of leaves. So anyway, so I'm pleased with how that came out, and I was good, and that I actually like used rulers and didn't just
I drew. I used my template. I used rulers. So, you know, just a little less roughshod than I usually do. So I like it. I like the quilting. And here's what I'm, you know, this, I have this realization with every quilt, I quilt all of my quilts, but every time I quilt a quilt, which is, you know, I'm still learning. I would love my quilting to be more sophisticated. It's better now than it used to be. I'm pleased. It's very simple. It's very, very simple, right? But it's what I can do. I'm pleased just that it's not stupid. You know? It works with the quilt. I'm good with it. I'm good with it. So the thing I wanted to tell you, and this has come up before, you know, one of the quilting classes I have on Craftsy, I think the teacher's Ann Peterson. I'll look this up while I'm talking. But it's a basically, you know, machine quilting your quilt. And she's a good teacher. Like all my Craftsy classes, I've not finished it. That's kind of, I'm kind of really pushing toward, if just watching the classes, not even doing them, but just watching them. But anyway, but she, you know, she's clearly a very good teacher and knows what she's doing, et cetera, et cetera. Yes, okay, it's Ann Peterson, Beyond Basic Machine Quilting. And one thing that she does is when she's setting up the quilt to quilt, obviously she bases it, and, well, she obviously, she pin bases it. But she actually sews around the outer borders. So, you know, you've got your, I don't know. She does. So to keep, because, and you may, if you machine quilt your own quilts, may have had this experience where the outer borders are just kind of flapping loose and you end up, inadvertently, of course, because you wouldn't do this on purpose, you end up, you're sewing and then you flip the quilt and you realize on the bottom that even though you have safety pin basted all around the outer border, something has kind of gotten tucked in and then you've sewn it, right? So you have to go and rip out the stitches because you have messed up. And so what she does is she bases, I think with a zigzag stitch, all around the outer border to stabilize it and to keep that from happening. And that seems like such a good idea, but, you know, I haven't done it for a while. And I don't know why in this quilt I thought, I'm going to try that again. And you know what I ended up doing before right before I started quilting the outer borders is I ripped all that out because it was making the outer border puffy, you know, and I knew I was going to, if I kept it in, I was going to get pleats. It was not going to be good. So I took it out and I just pinned everything and was very careful. And to the best of my knowledge, I realize, have you actually looked? But everything looks fine. And in fact, you know, I realize I haven't actually thoroughly looked at the back of the quilt yet. I have a lot of thread snipping to do here. But I don't think I don't think I pleated it at all, which is nice. That's not a huge problem that I have. But every once in a while, you'll get a pleat. I should probably be a lot more careful about checking as I'm quilting. But in any event, so I'm not going to do that again. I don't know. I should go back and watch that lesson and try to recall for sure why she wants that. But I do think it's to stabilize the quilt and to keep you from, I guess to me why it made sense is like, oh, it'll keep you from sewing anything backwards or, well, you know, I've described it already. I can't describe it again. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, so here I am. And actually what I'm doing this morning, so it's about, what is it? It's almost 10. Did I mention, so the boys don't have school today. It's raining. Not that we mind the rain. Not that we mind the fact that it's going to be raining through Wednesday. And it's daylight savings. So, yeah, it's going to be some gloomy afternoon. But I don't care because I do not complain about the weather. But, in any event, the man and Jack are off taking a tour of Davidson College in the rain. And Will is still sleeping. And so I just thought, you know, I want to finish this. And so I'm working on the label, which means spending a lot of time drafting the right language. And I went online. I was like, well, maybe I can find something. Because it's like, this quilt is for so-and-so, made by so-and-so, on this date, blah, blah, blah. You know, and it's like, it's a lot of prepositional phrases. And you're like, how do I get this? So I think, where am I? This quilt is for Carrie and Ben Kempton. It was pieced and quilted by Francis O'Dow under close supervision of the man, Jack and Wildow, and Travis. And then I have the date of their wedding, October 10th, 2015. And then at the bottom, I have Town Square, in quotes, because that is the name of the pattern, and then pattern by Kim Brackett, because I'm trying to be good about not just labeling, but giving credit where credit is due, and also helping out future quilt historians. So, but it's like, I'm not sure if I'm, that's my draft. I'm going to work on it. So it could be it was pieced and quilted, blah, 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 in celebration of their wedding, maybe. I'm going to write that in. So yes, I'm working on the label because I like to sew that in. So where I am right now is I'm almost done doing the machine sewing on of the binding, sewing the binding to the front. Let me write this down in celebration of their wedding. See, live quilting, guys, this is great. It's like, you know, it's like watching the World Series here. I'm glad the Royals won. I just am. Anyway, World Series, if you follow that. So, where am I? Yeah, so I wanted to get the label and so I can sew it. As I get around to the last corner, I like to sew the label into the binding. Yes. So I'm working on that, and then I'll be done. I'm a little scared to wash because there are some violent reds, right? There are. And, you know, and what kills me is, of course, when you get, most of this is pre-cut fabric, but the darkest red is actually from yardage that I bought for this quilt. And I really wish I had washed it because I was doing something. I think I was just trying to get out some marking lines and a little red dye came out when the fabric got wet. So I just have a huge box of color catchers and I'll just use all of them because it's worth the $5 to me to ensure this quilt does not run. The red does not run. I think I was listening to Pam. Was it over at Hip to Be a Square, and she talked about having some dye run and using, I think it was Dawn. Anyway, I sort of earmarked that in my head. Like, all right, if anything happens, just go right back to Pam and find out what she did. Or I guess I could even just email her, Pam, help. Speaking of Pam, I really hope you're watching The Stitch. This is on YouTube. It's her TV show with her friend... her friend Lynn, which I thought it was. But you know how I found out? I Googled Stitch Quilting TV Show Pam. Okay, so if you need to find this, it's Stitch Quilting TV Show Pam. Anyway, it's very, very fun. You guys, Pam or Lynn, I don't know if Lynn listens. I know Pam does sometimes. Pam, if you're listening, excellent job. Really, really fun. I recommend it. It's The Stitch. Again, you can just Google Stitch Quilting TV Show Pam, or you can go onto YouTube and you can subscribe. And it's just, they're a good team, they're funny, and they're smart, and they say interesting things. So, yay! That's what I just finished watching. I think as I finish the binding, I may finish watching my week's Ringle Modern Design course on Craftsy. I really do want to finish up my classes. Even if I'm just watching, not even taking notes, just watching, absorbing, seeing where the information is that I need to return to. I would like to watch my Angela Walters quilting classes. I just feel like all these classes seem so interesting to me, and I feel like I don't have time to watch them. Which is not exactly true, because I seem to have plenty of time to watch Game of Thrones, the most violent TV show ever. So that's where I am. What else do I have to tell you? One of my things for today, because I don't think I'm going to write today, I would actually like to... My sewing space is not a mess, but over the last month, I have just made lots of piles of things. Magazines, papers, books, church bulletins, whatever. I need to go through that, and I also just need to dust and clean. But the sewing space itself is actually fairly organized. I did a good job this summer of getting it organized, and then I did a clean pretty recently. So, but that always feels good to me. That feels good to me. I'm trying to think of if I have anything else to tell you. So I told you about all my quilting stuff. Yes. And my decision to no longer baste the outer borders of my quilts. Don't let me do that again. It could come up. It's possible. That's all I have to say right now. But don't you think that's enough? I think it's enough. I do. Okay then. I'll be back. I'm sure I'll have something to say later. So until that time. So on. Quilt Diary Day 3. It's Thursday, November 5th, 2015, 2:21 p.m. In case you're wondering, I need to go get changed to go to the gym and lift my weights. Yes, I need to do that. I am sitting here right now with my American-made brand solid color card with swatches. I am thinking about what I'm going to do next quilt-wise because, yes, ta-da, finished Carrie's quilt. It really came out nicely. I put about 10 color catcher sheets in with it when I washed it. And really, you know, when I there wasn't a lot of dye. I was, as I think I've said, concerned about the dark red that I bought and should have washed. But I didn't. I posted a picture on the Twilters page on Facebook. If you're not a Twilter and want to be one, let me know and I will add you. Or at least I will put you into the little, put your name in the little box that says add someone here, and I will do that. In any event, I posted something about putting in lots and lots of color catchers, and Noni says you can use color catchers more than once. So I tried this because after I went through the washing and drying process with Carrie's quilt, and it came out really nicely. Can I say that? It looks good. I washed the dark cottons that I got from American-made brand cotton solids. I think it was this summer. I have to tell you that I bought some yardage, like a purple and a brown and a navy. I thought, I'm going to wash those. And then, so I used the same color catchers again, and sure enough, they picked up a lot of dye. So, hey, and Noni also says, and if I'm good, I will actually follow her link. She says that on Pinterest. In fact, she didn't give me a link. She said, just go search on Pinterest. You can do your own homemade color catchers. So there you have it. But in any event, one of the reasons I'm looking at American-made brand solid color, my solid color card with swatches is because I want to make a quilt based on a postcard that I picked up at the National Museum of Art at Duke University. The painting is called Desert Sun by Odile Donald Odita. It was painted in 2014, acrylic on canvas. And I will take a picture. Let's just say it's a lot of solid color, stripes, but overlapping, and some stripes that really aren't stripes. I don't even know what they are. They're long stretches of angled color. How is that? How is that? I'm going to take a picture and post it. So if you want to see what I'm talking about. But it's very cool. And I thought, you know, that it looks fun. It looks doable. And it looks like a really good palette to practice my machine quilting on. So I'm doing that. And then, of course, the fabrics that are in the dryer right now, those dark American-made brand cottons, are for the quilt I'd like to make for my nephew, Devin, based on the postcard that my mom sent me of Devin's fabulous artwork. Will I be able to pull this off? This will be applique. I think it should be the making of it, I think, should be simple. I think it's the design of it and getting the dimensions right. And of course, if I knew how to use my EQ7, that would come in handy right about now. Who knows? Maybe I'll use this project as a way to learn EQ7.
I would like to do that. So I'm excited just to be working on some stuff. I'm looking at my Dresden plates. I would like to start actually making some blocks. I do have, as you know, an idea for a modern Dresden plate quilt as well as the traditional Dresden plate. So I've got a lot of things percolating here. I'm very excited about it. I want to tell you just very briefly, the other night when I was finishing up the quilting on Carrie and Ben's wedding quilt, when I was finishing hand stitching the binding, I should say, I decided to listen to one of the webinars on the Modern Quilt Guild's site. Members only. Yeah, I mentioned that, right? I told you that. I joined the national group, not the local group, just because the local group meets at a bad time. Sundays, 5 to 7. And I thought, well, you know, and this, in fact, they meet this Sunday, and I would go, except that I am teaching my creative writing workshop that I'm teaching on some Sunday afternoons with a small group of girls from 2 to 5. So I, you know, and by the time it's over, I'm going to be tired and hungry and want to go home. And then I was thinking, well, next time in December, it is probably going to be a Christmas party kind of thing. So maybe like in January, I'll see. It's the second Sunday. So I might try to check out the local group. But, you know, it meets at Spoonflower, and I was looking at Spoonflower's site, and they actually also have sort of these, I think it's called Pin and Needles, and it's every third Tuesday. I can't remember the time. It's in the evening, but you can come and you can bring knitting or crocheting or sewing. And I saw people, there were some pictures from a recent session, and there were people with sewing machines. I kind of assume you bring your own. So we'll see. Maybe I'll go next time and just knit or work on yo-yos. But that sounded kind of fun. And it might give me a better, I would assume that people who are doing that might be doing modern quilting. I don't know. I kind of want to be a part of a group, and I'm just such not a group person. We'll see. I will keep you updated. But anyway, so me, member of the Modern Quilt Guild National. And I think so they have these neat webinars, and there was one, and it was on submitting your quilt to a quilt contest, which I have, or to a quilt show, which I have only put a quilt in one show. If you are a very, 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 very long time listener of this podcast, you might recall a very sad time. I think it was very shortly after I started this podcast. I think it was in October of 2010, and I was going to the Durham Orange County Quilt Guild meetings, and they have a biannual show, or is it biennial, one or the other, one, it's every 2 years is what I'm saying, okay, and I had my little quilt that I made at my quilt school over at Thimble Pleasures. Not a great quilt. Nobody's saying it's a great quilt. Probably not even near as nice as 99.9%. It was probably the worst quilt. And I just submitted it to be part of the show, not to be judged. And if you recall in this story, I went to the show and walked all around like, where's my little quilt? And it was all the way in the back, actually facing a wall. It was on a panel that was kind of wedged in, that kind of a 45 degree angle, and there was my quilt facing the wall. And I understand they didn't know me. I was new. There was no reason to put my sad little quilt any place other than that. And in fact, they're like, oh man, what are we going to do? How are we going to get all these quilts up? And so, well, this quilt, I don't know who this Frances Dowell is, just put it in the back. And I always remember, because Darla had the greatest comment. She said, no one puts Frances in a corner. And I just like, oh, that was like the sweetest thing ever that anyone's ever said to me. Thank you, Darla, if you're listening. Any event, so I'm not a big show person. Although, you know what? And I should like have trigger alert. This is some the kind of thing I say all the time and I never do. As we know, I have all kinds of plans. Some of them, I write books, and I have plans to write books, and you know what? I actually finish the books, and I finish the quilts that I start eventually, just never when I say I'm going to sampler quilt anyone. Getting there. Jay and I need to get back on board. I don't know what's happened. Jay sent a boy off to college this fall, and I'm just all over the place, so that's what happened. Any event. I did have the thought that it might be interesting to enter Quilt into QuiltCon next year. This year, the deadline, I think, is up. I think it was a November 1st deadline, possibly November 30th, but I thought it was November 1st. Anyway, so I thought, I'm going to listen to this, in part just for the knowledge, for the really as a folklore slash anthropologist, amateur in both cases. You know, I thought this would be interesting. This is the part of the quilt world I don't really know anything about. I don't know how shows are juried and judged. I didn't even know what it really kind of meant. What was the distinction between being juried and judged? So I listened to this panel, and these webinars, I don't know what it's like when they're live. I will find out later this month because I'm going to listen. Mary Fonds is doing one on quilt history, and I'm going to check in and be there live to listen to her. Will there be visuals? I don't know. But they record these sessions, and then you get the PowerPoint slides, but you don't actually see anyone talking. So I don't know if you're actually watching live, if there's a camera. But if there were a camera, then why wouldn't it be taping? I don't know. I have no idea. We'll find out. I'll let you know. I'll keep you updated. So this is just, it's just like listening to a podcast. It's what you're doing right now. You're not seeing me talk. This isn't a big cast. I wouldn't do that to you or myself, quite frankly. The only person I knew of on the panel is Jackie Gehring, who is, among other, you know, obviously famous modern quilter, also I think the current president of the Modern Quilt Guild, or she's the uppity up, maybe not the executive director, but more the figurehead. I don't know. But anyways, I do know who she is. I found it a really interesting discussion overall. I mean, so at the beginning, there's some stuff like, how do I choose which quilt? And everyone's like, choose your best quilt. Like, okay, noted. Note to self. Don't send in that little sad quilt from 2010. Choose your best quilt. Make it, you know, and they said in terms of QuiltCon, it should be modern quilt. And that sounded wise as well. There were interesting sort of common sense things about, you know, so apparently, at least enter QuiltCon, I assume this is true across the board, you send in pictures to be juried. That's the first step of the process. And so they talked about what is a good picture. And for QuiltCon, you send a picture of the entire quilt, the quilt in its entirety, and then you send a detail picture. And they're like, you know, you want to make sure your threads are snipped, that whatever part, whatever detail you're showing, there's no stains, the stitching is good, you know, all kind of common sense stuff. They did said, so if your quilt is juried into the show, they said, you know, you would not believe the number of quilts we get with pet fur on them. They said there's so many quilts they get that have dog and cat hair on the quilts, that when they put plastic sheeting, plastic tablecloths on the tables when they're unpacking and putting the quilts out, because it's just so icky. And I guess I don't actually know why they do that. I don't know. I guess just not to get hairs on the table. I don't know. Anyway, but apparently big problem. It's like, so glad to have a hypoallergenic dog with hair who does not shed. Yes, yeah, go Travis. He's behind me, not snoring, but that could change at any second. So, wash your quilt, get off the fur before you send your quilt. But I think learning about the process, so you send in your pictures, the pictures are juried. They talked about last year there were 800 quilts, so that they don't read your artist statement, it's just a very visual process, and I guess maybe quilts are ranked and by each juror, and then points are added up, etc., etc. And then you can apparently say, I would like to be judged or not. And I kind of remember that from my one experience. I know I said, don't, please don't judge me. And they did anyway. But so that was interesting. You can just have your quilt in the show. You don't need to have it judged. And then Jackie Gehring talked about the judging process, there's a recorder. That's not what they called it, but someone whose job is to write down all the notes on the quilts. And if your quilt is judged, you get those notes. They're transcribed, and you get the notes. So I thought that was funny. I wish I could remember what that person is called. If you know, Quilt and Jenny, do you know? Let me know. It was something. You know, it's like a scribe. Maybe it was. Maybe it's the scribe. But she talked about it was absolutely quiet. People took it very, very seriously, or take the judging seriously. And there's no joking around. It's just going through the quilts. The quilts are laid out and da-da-da-da. So it was interesting. As an anthropologist slash folklorist, amateur in both categories, I thought it was interesting. First of all, apparently during these webinars, you can email or text questions, comments, and someone said, I don't even know why we bother entering, because it's just the same old famous people who win all the time. Which I think was kind of just that comment was sort of let go, passed over. But then someone said, what do you do? Should there be a rule that you can't enter a quilt that's been essentially been seen on the internet, that you have posted pictures of on the internet, because, people will already be familiar with the quilts, so we'll give the quilts, they're these kind of famous quilts. And that's, I love the idea of that, that there are famous quilts. I think on my website, which is coming along, I'm going to have a section called, Let Us Now Praise Famous Quilts, right? Which is about what is the famous quilts of the 21st century, right? Just what quilts, we could talk about patterns. And I remember asking that, I think a year or so ago, what are the patterns that seem to be very popular and the most made, in the last 5 years. But also the quilts themselves. So you could think of Jackie Guerin's quilt, which is like the gun, I think, was blood dripping out of it, right? I mean, so she's done some quilts that are very visually arresting and I think well known. The G's Bend quilts, which are not strictly, some of them I'm sure are 21st century. I think they're still making quilts, but I think a lot of quilts they're showing are older quilts. But they certainly became famous in the 21st century. I think Victoria Finlay Wolfe's wedding ring quilt that won at Quilt Con, in the first Quilt Con, is a famous quilt. So, but I just like that idea, and that the idea that people are so active perusing blogs that they're just quilts that get to be well known on sort of the blog level or the Instagram level. Have you had that experience? I don't spend enough time on quilting blogs. Other than my friends, so many of the blogs that I go to, I feel like I'm seeing the same quilt over and over. And I feel like there are a lot of bloggers, and these are well-known, but the more well-known, let's say modern traditionalists and modern quilters, they're well-known for their blogging more than their quilting, I should say. And I go, whether it's Film in the Fridge or Crazy Mom Quilts or whatever, I just feel like, and someone, I think what they're doing is they're teaching. And one of the best ways to teach is to say, yeah, this is a pretty good-looking, very simple quilt you can make using pre-cuts. And I get that, and I don't mind it. And at the same time, I'm like, good grief. It's can sell. I want to see some growth here. I want to see. But, I think a lot of it, there is a real strong community aspect. I just want to be a part of something, and this is fun to do. And these quilts are pretty, et cetera, et cetera. But anyway, so I'm trying to find more blogs that I'm excited about. And some people, when I put it out there on Twilters, probably about a month or so ago, people gave me some blogs that I had not been familiar with, which were actually more interesting to me. So, but just that idea that there is kind of a blog circuit that at least modern quilters are familiar enough with that would be an issue. Because, if I put a quilt on Facebook, as I did today, it's you guys are going to see it, the twilters are going to see it, but it's not like it's going to go viral or all of a sudden it's like, oh, let's, it's going to have its own little blog tour. I don't quite understand. I'm sussing that out. Anyway, it was a very interesting discussion. I learned it. I'm looking forward to listening to more webinars, particularly the creative webinars. They do business webinars, and maybe I'll listen to that too, again, as a way of educating myself about this kind of subculture that we're a part of. In the meantime, I'm going to buy fabrics. Well, first I'm going to go to the gym. I'm really kind of pushing it time-wise, so then I have to go pick up Will. But I just wanted to check in and tell you I finished Carrie's wedding quilt. If you're a twilter, go online. You can see it, obviously, by the time... Well, actually, I will put a picture on my website, which is theoffkilterquilt.wordpress.com, if I forget to say that in the beginning. Come over and see it. Leave a comment. I love to hear from you. And I will be back soon. Until then, remember, life is short. Quilt first. Bye.